It's great to have you here today on July the 4th. This is a day when most of you are out of your usual routine, so I'm glad that you've still tuned in, for God is. We're in the middle of Mark chapter 6 as we continue to learn that God is our rest. And yesterday we read the following, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. So Jesus and his disciples were in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. Once there, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and he also laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. But Jesus could not do very much because the Jewish people there took offense at him, says Mark 6 and verse 3. And Jesus acknowledges their rejection of him in verse 6. This is Mark 6, verse 6. And he wondered at their unbelief. Based on this, I gave you the first little insight into what made Jesus tired. Rejection creates tiredness. Rejection creates tiredness. Later in Mark 6, we will see that Jesus himself had to take time to rest. He got tired. And of course he did. Jesus was fully human, and human beings get tired. Well, what specifically makes Jesus tired? I think the rejection by the people in his hometown wore him down a bit. He loved them. He really did. And he wanted them to accept his deity. Jesus desired to deliver and to rescue these Nazarenes from their sin, but they didn't want him. And so he left with his disciples, and verse 6 continues telling us that Jesus was going around the villages teaching. And then we came to verse 7. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. For the next several verses, Jesus gives his 12 disciples very explicit instructions about how they are to go out and do ministry. I am staying focused on God is our rest. And so let me just highlight for you some of the instructions Jesus gives and show you specifically how, in these instructions, Jesus is telling the disciples how to protect against weariness in ministry. And remember, avoiding the temptation to professionalize the ministry is important here. What Jesus says here applies to every single one of his disciples today. This applies to everyone listening to me who is a Christian. If you follow Christ, then Jesus is speaking to you. And what is the first instruction? It's to go out in pairs. Jesus sends the disciples two by two, and I believe he does this to protect them from getting weary. When we go together with one another, then we encourage and strengthen one another. When one of us gets discouraged, the other can bring encouragement. When the other gets down, the second disciple can lift him up. Together is better. Two is better than one. And this has very practical application to us as Christ's people. Go out into the world as Christ's witnesses together. That's why the church is a community of believers and not just a group of individuals that happens to sit together in a church building Sunday mornings. If you're going to host a Bible study for your neighborhood in your backyard this summer, great, awesome, and let me know because I will pray for you. Really, I'm interested in praying for any of you doing ministry. But here's what Jesus is saying to you. Find another Christian to host it with you. Get a co-host. Why? Be a pair so that when you get tired, when the results are not what you had expected, you'll have another one to say to you, don't give up. Press on. Let's be faithful to Jesus. Or here is another example. You may have an exciting ministry to youth and young adults. Again, great. Let me know so that I can be praying for you. And get a hold of some other Christians who are like-minded and get them involved in the ministry with you. There are going to be disappointments, missed expectations, hard times, and seasons when you just want to give up. These young people are not responding to you. They're not responding to God the way that you want them to. Well, what are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to when you get down? When you feel like rolling over in bed, pulling the covers up over your head and sleeping in, when you're saying, forget it, in your mind and heart. It's not worth it. What are you going to need? Who are you going to need? Well, you're going to need another brother or sister in Christ. It's like Jesus is saying to the disciples, this mission that I'm sending you on comes with a warning label. Do not try this alone. Do not try this alone. Did you hear Jesus? Do not try this alone. Protect yourself against weariness by being in partnership with another believer or believers, another of Christ's disciples. And a backyard Bible study and a ministry to youth and young adults are only two examples. I think they are good examples, but apply this togetherness to whatever ministry God has given you to do. Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs. We're in Mark chapter 6 and verses 7 through 13 of that chapter, and Jesus is giving clear instructions to his disciples as he prepares to send them out in twos to practice ministry without him. I'm highlighting only certain verses to show you specifically how Jesus is teaching the disciples to protect against weariness in ministry. First, Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs. And now second, Jesus tells them to take a walking stick. A what? Jesus instructs them to take a walking stick. Listen to Mark 6 and verse 8. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff. A staff was popular in those days of doing walking, walking, and more walking. They walked everywhere. And so as the disciples disperse for the towns and villages to carry out the ministry that Jesus has given them to do, they're told to take their staffs. And a staff is the first century walking stick. Most of us don't own one because we have this thing called a car, which many of you are sitting in as we speak. But you may own one if you're into hiking. Anyone going hiking this summer? You might hear the words of Jesus ringing in your mind while packing. Take a mere staff. Now, why would a staff or a walking stick protect from tiredness? That's easy to answer. You lean on it, such that you protect yourself from physical exhaustion. And that stick also served as a protection from the attacks of wild animals, something they also had to deal with. Kind of like us today with wild turkeys and these coyotes running around seemingly everywhere. I told you last week that we would learn that Jesus does address physical weariness. God is our rest, and God really does care about giving your body rest. And so we see this again down in verse 9. Here comes the next instruction of interest to us. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus says, "Wear sandals." Do not ever say that Jesus isn't practical or Jesus doesn't speak to real down-to-earth life issues. Do not think Jesus cares only about the soul and never about the body, mind, and spirit of a woman and a man. Jesus tells his disciples, wear sandals. And this is for a very practical reason. Walking around the landscape of Israel, it got mighty hot on the soles of the feet. It got so hot that you could burn your feet if you weren't wearing protection. And then when the 12, going out two by two, got off into the country and the hillsides, the terrain would be such that it required sandals. Proper footwear was essential. Again, we see this in detail in the teaching of Jesus. He cares about the physical body being protected from being worn out. If you've ever run a race or walked several miles at one time, particularly over rough terrain in the heat, you know that Jesus gave wise advice. For a marathon runner, there is no more important piece of equipment than their sneakers. For a mountain climber, their boots. And for first century men of God, their sandals. Jesus is concerned about the whole person, from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. Literally. Because next, in verse 9, Jesus talks about tunics. But I want to move down to verses 10 through 11 of Mark chapter 6. In these verses, Jesus addresses an element of the disciples' emotional health and well-being. Let me read Mark 6, verses 10 and 11. And Jesus said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them." There are two elements here. First, choose carefully where you stay when you enter one of these towns. I'll put it to you this way. Find a safe place where you can spend the night. A base of operations in which you can debrief the day's ministry and help each other through the difficulties and around obstacles that you may encounter. Second, this is wisdom for what to do when no one will listen to you and you encounter rejection. Well, within these two words from Jesus comes instruction for us as well. I believe part of what the Lord is doing here is to tell the disciples what they need to do to persevere and strengthen their emotional health and well-being. Find a safe place and talk with one another and listen to one another and take swift action when you are rejected. Jesus knew the hardships they would face. He knew as he sent them out that this was not going to be easy. And the same holds true for you and I. We too require safe places and a definite plan from Jesus for when we are rejected. As we talk about finding our rest in Christ, we have talked about spiritual and physical rest. And now we come into this other form of rest, emotional rest. In my pastoral experience, I find that most people are not really taking very good care of their emotions. This is an often overlooked sphere of our lives when we pause to consider how drained we are. When providing counsel to people in my congregation who come to see me, I find that again and again there's trouble in the emotions. There's something brewing below the surface in the inner person that requires healing. I'm telling you, if you haven't addressed your emotions and you are feeling very tired, I will guarantee you this is a major point of exhaustion for you. But I'm happy to report that Jesus has something to say about emotional health in this text. This is not all Jesus says about it, but this is a start. So when you come back tomorrow, we'll dig into verses 10 and 11 of Mark 6. I hope to have you here in 24 more hours. In the meantime, we're talking about God who is our rest. And on this holiday for many of you, try and get some rest. Enjoy friends and family. Read the Bible. Watch a wholesome film. Talk with someone who loves you. Listen to someone. Enjoy your 4th of July, and then join me again tomorrow for God is...